Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, we got a lot to get to, and we are going to talk with Stephen Jones in just a few minutes. I wanted to go back to a couple more NFL notes, or if you want to go along with the idea that Chuck Cooperstein tweeted out that Derek Lively said he grew 2 more inches and is now 7'3".
And Daniel Gafford says that he's going to have a breakout season, so that is going to be interesting.
I mean, he's already absolutely broken out for me. So a couple of more NFL notes for you real quick, if that is okay. Actually, right now we do have Stephen Jones ready to roll right here on 105.3 The Fan, brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, guys.
Well, we're all trying to figure out if we should be happy, sad, or neutral. And I know Jerry said it's better than if they would have lost, which is objectively true. But did you have a bizarre feeling after the game wrapped up last night?
Absolutely. I mean, the same feeling y'all are having. I mean, we had internally, I think everybody had it. I mean, the locker room was quiet, but, you know, like I think Jerry did say it best, it's better than losing, but it's damn sure not winning. And, you know, we let an opportunity get away there. I thought we had our opportunities to win the game. And, you know, it's part of the journey that we're on right now with our new staff. It's just you know, especially the defensive side of the ball, is getting our hands around and executing, you know, what our coaching staff is wanting our guys to do. But I do think, you know, we're getting better each week. I know it's not showing up on the field. You know, certainly you don't want to give up, some of the big plays and the points that we're giving up right now. But we've got to continue to grind. The good news is offensively we're making a lot of plays and keeping us in the game, and defensively we just gotta get one stop there in any of those drives in the second half, we win the game.
Can you just said, even if it's not showing up on the field, you feel like the defense is getting better. What do you, like, I'm not disputing that, but what do you base that on? What is your metric for saying that I think we're moving in the right direction or the defense is getting better?
It's the guys getting their hands around how to execute the defense. And I think they're getting their hands around it. I think they're understanding it. Still takes all 11 to be, you know, to get the job done. And, you know, we're just having some little things there that cost you when you don't execute the call on defense. But I do believe that, you know, the guys are getting their hands around it. You know, certainly a blow there to lose Hooker. He's the quarterback back there and great communicator. And so that was a tough one to lose in the game last night. But, you know, and I do feel like, you know, with getting Clowney in there, I do feel like we're starting to, albeit, you know, we're not getting the production with the sacks. I do feel like we're getting more pressure.
How are y'all feeling about Malik Hooker going forward?
We don't know yet.
Okay.
We're waiting to get the final results of the MRI on his foot, and we'll go from there.
Any thoughts then also on Tyler Guyton after concussion last night?
He should be in good shape. It was One that, our guys feel that he can get through protocol pretty quickly, but that still remains to be seen. But definitely had a concussion there at the end of the game. I know he was frustrated because he wanted to go back in anyway, but our guys didn't feel like he passed the protocol there in the tent.
To add to that, though, Guyton had a pretty good night. Nate Thomas had a pretty decent night. What were your feelings about how your tackles managed things on the edge?
Yeah, I thought they did a great job. I mean, obviously, Mike is an elite player, and we had a lot of things going on there with him in terms of different ways to show him different looks with some of the chipping and the double teams that we were doing. But he's a great one. But I thought I agree with you. I think our tackle showed up. I think Steele did some really nice things, and it's great to have Nate Thomas getting his feet wet in a game, especially one of that magnitude. I know. It was unfortunate that he had the alignment issue, but he'll get that straight.
It always felt like there was a plan last night for Micah or for the pass rush coming from the Packers, like a plan that was created by Schottenheimer. Last night was a really good play calling on his part. What did you feel about? I just felt like he was in his bag. What were your thoughts on his play calling and the rhythm he was in last night?
Yeah, I think he was outstanding. I think Dak was outstanding. I think Dak got rid of the ball like he was amazing in terms of, getting his read done. I mean, he knew that, he had to go faster with what the Packers could do from a pass rush standpoint. They're a really good defense, and put 40 points on a defense like that. I thought our offense really executed in a big way. George Pickens did a great job. I thought Javonte ran the ball extremely well. I just think we're doing a good job. And when we protect the ball, we got a chance to score a lot of points. And I think that hurt us in Chicago. I mean, you turn the ball over four times and all of them pretty much, in position where you're going to get points, two in the end zone, one to George that would have put us in field goal range. And then the unfortunate Javonte strip. That's going to keep you from getting points. But when we protect the ball like we did last night and get the ball out and don't take negative plays, good things are going to happen to this group.
And on the flip side, you're able to force a turnover via James Houston. This is somebody who really feels like they came into training camp and took every opportunity or every opportunity that he got, he excelled in. What have been your early thoughts on James Houston making a difference with this team?
Well, he's doing everything that's asked of him. He's obviously his superpower is to rush the passer. That's what he's really good at. But I tell you what, he shows up in other places. I mean, he'll cover kicks on special teams. Nothing's beneath him. He just gets out there and plays football. And we're fortunate to have him. But what a great play and what a, certainly a big reason as to why we won the game. Why we tied the game.
It's still confusing for us too. I get it.
It's confusing. bad miscue there. I wish we won the damn game, but that's a huge play he makes there. And certainly we were needing momentum in that first half. We were reeling a little bit, but you could feel the momentum coming our way, and to finish with two touchdowns there at the end of the half right there was huge.
I know playing decisions are going to be up to the coaching staff, but were you surprised at all to see Trayvon Diggs was not starting this game?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, Trayvon's been battling his injuries and, his time on the field and practice. And, as we said, we're just trying to get everybody their reps. I thought when he got his chances in there, he did a great job. And, I do think we're coming there. You ask why you believe that, we're getting, right. That things are era up. He's one of them. I mean, between him and Bland getting healthier, Bland was right there on a couple of plays that, he makes the play there, then you get him out and they punt. But, I just think we're going to continue to get better there in coverage, and I think we're going to continue to get better in pressure. And when that happens, I think we're doing a good job in the running game right now. And we just got to get, we got to get more pressure, and we certainly got to get our coverage down in Eberflus's scheme.
And you mentioned this last week as well. It feels like another spot where the execution level needs to be picked up tremendously is those missed tackles, because that felt like something that did really hinder, especially the run defense last night.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is, there's a fine line there between going for the punch out and the strip and making a sound tackle. And I think that's what we're working through as well, because certainly we want to punch the ball out and get the ball. But at the same time, when you're spending a lot of your focus on that, then sometimes, the tackling's not perfect. So there's a fine line there that we got to get our hands around, but there's no question we can certainly tackle better. Jacobs is a hell of a back, and, got to give him a little credit too. But, I think overall, we let Love loose on a big one and Jacob on one big one. But, for the most part, I think we're feeling pretty good about what we're doing in the running game defensively.
How confident were you in George Pickens before last night, and did that confidence change after last night?
Well, we've been confident in George from day one. I mean, he's just an elite. He's got great, upside, and made big plays in the NFL ever since he walked into the NFL. And certainly he just did a great job. I think everybody was a little shell-shocked when we lost CD last week. Yeah. And, those guys work as a unit. And I think he was a little down to see his main guy, get injured there. But certainly, as you could see last night, he stepped up in a big way. And the guy's got some very unique ability in terms of tracking balls and catching balls and making big plays. So, really fortunate to have him. Like I said, there's a lot of good things going on the offensive side of the ball, and I do think we'll continue to get better defensively as we get healthier and we execute better week in and week out in practice.
Do you happen to remember the first word out of your mouth whenever Dak threw that pass to Tolbert? Because it was a special throw, and I'm pretty sure mine was holy, and then a word I shouldn't have said in front of my son.
Yeah.
I said the same thing. I thought he was throwing it out of bounds, and there comes Tolbert back and drags his feet. And by the way, what a hell of a play by Tolbert too.
Yeah, that was
to get his feet in and make that. I mean, both of them just made great plays there, and it was a holy you know what play.
the other thing too, and this was talked about a lot last night, but I noticed it. Brandon Aubrey's field goal kicking is phenomenal. It's great. It's valuable. But on kickoffs last night, he was doing something special. How valuable is that to what you guys are doing?
Oh well, these kicks. I mean, obviously with the new rules, everybody's figuring it out. And I mean, obviously that's a huge penalty when you kick the ball in the end zone for a team to start at the 35.
Yeah. And,
as they say, we're a first down away from Brandon being able to kick a field goal, but there's a lot of kickers. I was watching the red zone yesterday, getting burning some time waiting for our game, and a lot of kickers making some long kicks and making them, even Green Bay's kicker, they had the long field goal there in regulation to tie it, and he made that with ease. And these kickers are very skilled, and a lot of them are getting that ball. They can hit these, 55, 60-plus yard field goals.
One of the unique opportunities we get from you is some insight from the competition committee standpoint as well. Has there been any discussion, or can you envision any discussion to try to, curve some of the success that all these kickers have had?
Not really. I mean, I think it makes it exciting. I think it makes the game really exciting. And I don't think we're necessarily doing anything. It's not on the front burner to try to curb that success. These guys are just, talented men who have have really fine-tuned their art of kicking the football and doing a great job. And I bet these kickoffs are going to get harder and harder as these kickers start to perfect we call it the dirty balls that they're kicking, where they, you want that thing to slide in there and hit in the landing zone and then hopefully get in the end zone and not give them a return. Those are challenging for these returners. And I think it has really made the play interesting. I mean, it's certainly, we're at an all-time high in 20-plus years on kickoff returns, so certainly getting the job done. And the great news is that the, you know, that the injury rate is just like a line of scrimmage play. So hats off to all the special team coaches who put a lot of work into it. And I think we've come up with a really fun play to watch for our fans.
Yeah, it is. It is. And Stephen, before we let you go, is there any truth to the rumor that the AT&T Stadium official timekeeper is a Packers fan? Because there was 1 second left on that clock last night.
Put it at zero.
Well, we're on a search for a new clock keeper. So. No. Unfortunately, I think it was correct, and but I'm with you. They should have at least had to review it.
Yes!
I can't believe it didn't go to zero and then have them have to go back and look.
Yes, as 100%, I was like, let them review it and figure it out. Put it at zero, game over. I'm glad that you feel the same way after a confusing aftermath of
I'll probably get kicked off the competition committee after that comment.
All right. Thank you very much, good sir, for the time. We appreciate it. We'll catch up with you again next week.
Thanks, guys.
There you go. Stephen Jones right here on 105.3 The Fan. Man, that is exactly.
He's one of us in that feeling,
that
too.
Is exactly the same thing. I was like, I'm not saying it's going to stick. Run it to zero. Let them review it and figure out what you have to do. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, this should be interesting. Cowboys, thank
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you notes, Cowboys. No thank you notes after a, it feels like,
who knows,
unsatisfying result for us all. Next, right here on The Fan.
All right, here's Love back to throw. There's light pressure. He pumps. Ball stripped out. Rolling around at the 15-yard line. Who's got it? Cowboys got it at the 15-yard line with 13 seconds to play.
They would score a touchdown on that play in what turned out to be an eventual 40-40 tie. Now, it's time for Dallas Cowboys thank you and no thank you notes, or maybe for the first time ever, a note of neutrality. I don't know.
Oh, man.
But I think there are a lot of different stats that can go along with this, but I wanted to say thank you to Dak Prescott. Thought he played tremendously yesterday. And if you look at the second quarter on, I can't particularly imagine him playing much better. Under pressure against the Packers, there we go. He was 9 of 10 for 134 yards and a touchdown. No even turnover-worthy plays. That's a new stat. Well, not new-ish stat. Is like, should that have potentially been a turnover? So he was tremendous in a lot of situations, tremendous under pressure last night.
This season, it has looked to me that not only is the ball getting out quicker.
Agreed.
But he looks to have more zip on his passes than I feel like he's had the last couple of years. Now, maybe it's because he's in really good shape. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. Yeah. Like, he looks like he's in really good shape, too. But there's just some, I've been saying all season, there's something for me that's just a little different about the way he's playing, the approach he has. And there's a confidence that the confidence to throw to Pickens. Just, I'm going to put it up in the air, and I'm going to trust you to get it.
Do you think he saw Joe Milton throw passes, and he was like, I need to throw as hard as consistently
maybe
possible?
Maybe so. I did see Caleb Williams yesterday try to throw it through somebody's face mask. I was like, what are you doing, dude? Why are you trying to throw that hard? That doesn't make any sense. And Bryce Young did the same thing. He threw one to Tet that was behind him. Anyway, different story, different time. Kevin, I would like to say a thank you note to the information that I just received on Twitter, and that is they have found the culprit. The guy who was keeping the clock is David Mulligetta.
That's not true, is it?
It's on Twitter.
That can't be true.
And it looks like it could be an AI picture or not. So you get to decide.
That makes sense. He is able to squeeze every dollar or every second out of it. So actually, that actually does make a lot of sense to me. From the 817, they said they're not a Stephen Jones fan, but want to send him a thank you note for a good interview today. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
From the 940.
I liked that interview.
Yes. No, me too. I especially like it when he goes, that's how we got the win or the tie. I don't know. And I thought that was funny. From the 940. This one's tough. I get it, though. No thank you to Sam Williams and the penalties. If he's going to have those penalties, sit his ass on the bench.
It's not just Sam Williams. There were some boneheaded plays. But I think that when it comes to Sam Williams, you're already kind of walking that line. And with him, you already know what his past is. And so you do with your kid too, right? It's fine if you make a mistake.
Yes.
Don't make it again. Learn from the mistake. And it's like, hold on, have you learned anything, dude? And then when Maris Leaf fouled, like that one, Kevin...
That one.
The Jones family, they pan up to the Jones family, and immediately you could see on their face, they're like, that was dumb. And I was sitting there at home going, you know better than to do that.
Seriously?
And I kind of know, sorry, I know that it looked like that ball was being juggled, and he was like, he could either swat it or hit the guy. And he decided to hit him, and it was excessive.
Okay. See, I guess we will have to agree to disagree on that. I watched that play numerous times. I think he saw the ball hit, thought about for a second what he was supposed to do, and then just hit him anyway.
And it's football. We hit people.
Like, that was probably the most egregious penalty, taking out the circumstances of, like, down to distance, because obviously with Sam Williams, looked like you're going to get a sack, force a fumble instead, first down. But those were both atrocious.
Can you do me a favor? Because I'm not sure I really ever understood it last night. Drive 4 for Green Bay. Ezeraku gets a tackle in the backfield, I believe, and then he gets a penalty for...
He punched him.
He punched him. Okay, I didn't see it.
No, he swung his fist at the player. So there did seem to be some confusion that they thought like he drove him down too hard. Well, yeah. That's not a quarterback.
I saw his knee hit his helmet on the way up.
No, it looked like he definitely made an arm swinging motion.
I want to say
that's unacceptable too.
I want to say thank you and no thank you to Ezeraku because he played really hard last night. There were some moments last night where I was like, oh, I'm seeing the flashes of what I expect out of this kid. And then there were other moments where I was like, oh, he got washed down into the middle and there was a breakaway on the outside because he got pushed out of a play. And it's happened to him a couple times already this year, but there were a couple of other times where I was like, dude, that's why. I'm not saying they felt completely comfortable replacing Micah because they know that this guy is going to be the next one. I'm not saying that. But I saw flashes of they feel comfortable because they think they're going to get that kind of play out of him more consistently and more frequently down the road.
Yeah, no, I think that, look, I understand all the people who, if you're upset, even Steven sounded upset. He's like, I feel like we made progress, even if you don't see it on the field. And that's why I wanted to ask him, like, what does that look like to you? Because I also, like, thought there were flashes of super positive things. But then you're like, you gave up 40 points, you know? And like, that's where I'm kind of stuck because I'm like, hey, I thought that Leafau showed flashes, that Ezeraku, like you said, showed flashes that were way better, but you still gave up 40 points. So I'm having a tough time balancing. Like, I think I see progress, but am I just fooling myself?
No, I'm going with, that's why I say flashes because it's not complete. There are things, but not, they gotta do it more consistently. Thank you to the Green Bay Packers offensive line for keeping us in this game. There were many moments last night, holds, false starts, just bad plays on their part that kept the Cowboys close enough because there were other moments where you're like, oh man, this is going to be a really tough play. And they screwed up. So good job, Packers offensive line.
No, you're right about that. I hope this makes sense. No thank you note to Matthew Golden for not dropping the ball on fourth down. I realize that's his job is to catch the ball. All he had to do is drop the ball, and we would have won the game. We could have gone to bed a little bit earlier. I realize he will very much disagree with me on that, but no thank you note to him. Because I even was like, come on, just drop it. Let's win this game.
What a clutch catch, though.
It really was.
Like
kept the game alive.
Being a rookie in that big of a moment, they trust you right over the middle of the field. And as Collinsworth said, stuck his hands right out there and grabbed the ball. Didn't let it hit him in the chest where it probably – he caught it like a receiver. And that was a very, very good catch.
He did. That was
– I'm with you, though. I hated it.
Now, can you go and give me cut number 34? Because I want to focus in on this play again. I know you mentioned it, but I want to go back to this because we have some amazing numbers to go along with this.
Prescott in the gun at the 39, second and 7. Snap is back. Good block from the right tackle. Rolling right, Prescott throws on the run to the right side. Oh, is that ball caught? Oh, please tell me he caught that. Tolbert. Did he catch it?
The same catch.
He did his best Michael Gallup down at the 5-yard line. I don't know how Prescott got it there or how Tolbert caught the ball for 34.
I thought that was another moment in the interview where Stephen Jones was all of us when he said, I thought he was just throwing the ball away. I did too. So props to Dak for stepping through what was a rapidly collapsing pocket.
Yep.
I thought the offensive line did significantly better yesterday. Still not perfect, but significantly better. But that pocket collapsed quickly. He didn't panic. He stepped through, got the ball off to Tolbert, who then made the catch. Now, this is crazy to me. So that throw and catch between him and Tolbert, completion probability of 7.2%. That is the second most improbable completion in the next generation stats era. To put it in further perspective, when Tolbert got the ball, he was 0.2 yards away from being out of bounds.
What?
0.2 from being out of bounds when the ball got there.
So he should have been out of bounds.
Yeah, and let alone making sure you planted your feet. So both of those people on that play, truly, truly remarkable. But it was a great day for the quarterbacks. I hope this makes sense. Thank you note to Dak Prescott. No thank you to Jordan Love for being awesome. So I know they did the same thing, but I appreciate one and not the other. Yesterday was the first game in NFL history where both quarterbacks had 30-plus completions, completed 70% of their passes, threw for 300-plus yards, threw for 3-plus touchdowns, and had no interceptions.
Wow.
Both of them were remarkable. You want to hear one more no thank you note that is even more remarkable? No thank you once again to the Cowboys secondary. On passes that traveled in the air less than 10 yards, Jordan Love was 28 for 28. That is... Ooh. Six more.
Less than 10 yards?
Yes. 28.
I didn't even realize he threw 28 times for less than 10 yards.
28.
Wow.
And that's in the air. So obviously you could turn it into more, but like in the air yards. That is six more than any quarterback in the past decade. Not one, six more passes. And so the secondary continues to be hugely problematic. No thank you to the Dallas Cowboys, I don't know, back two-thirds of the defense for squabbling with one another when the ball got snapped and then really having no opportunity at breaking up the pass that I think was caught by Golden. But there was two wide receivers right there for the Cowboys one. You talk about double coverage. This was the opposite of that.
Thank you to Kevontae Turpin, who seems to get us in field position when we need it on kickoffs. Like his kick returns are fun.
Yes.
It's a part of, you know, we were talking about, and on the other side, thank you to Brandon Aubrey, who seems to be getting this. He found, all right, I'm going to kick it exactly to here, and it's going to bounce into the end zone, and then they're going to be stuck at the 20 instead of the 35. Here we go.
Do you need a thank you note from Mike Tirico for getting us all hyped about that play?
Dude, Mike Tirico was the only reason I kept noticing. He was just like, oh my God, he did it again. This Brandon Aubrey kid, who cares if he can even make a field goal from 20 or out? This guy's doing this, and it's amazing.
He was.
I loved it. I loved it last night.
Man, he was.
Nobody
fired
was as happy.
Up.
Nobody was as excited as him.
Yes. No, I think.
And he also got his name right, too. So that was awesome, too.
Hey, it happens to the best of us, okay? I can say no thank you to me for being on a remote on Friday where I accidentally said the wrong place.
Hey, I was there. Whoops. I saw it all happen. Thank you to Wanya Thomas. I think that moment of blocking the PAT brought some juice back into the stadium and got them up a little bit. I thought that was really important for that game, and Marquise Bell for flying down the field.
Okay, can we talk about that just a little bit more? Because you can look back at the game now and say, yes, absolutely. But did you see, by the way, we told you to take the over on they're going to show Jerry Jones three times in this game.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, my God. That was,
I thought it was going to be 15. It was more than that, I feel like.
Absolutely. But go back and take a look at the shot they have of Steven, Jerry, and Jerry Jr. in that box. They did not look like they cared whatsoever about that return for the two-point conversion. And I think that's for good reason. I was excited. But I think you all understand why, because at that point, you had just seen...
Oh, yeah.
You'd seen the Cowboys offense struggle in the first quarter. You had seen Green Bay, I know they had a punt in there as well, but like methodically move the ball down the field, and it looked like it was going to be a long day. So I think you're right about that helping turn the tide, but it didn't seem like it when you looked up in the owner's box.
I mean, the thing that happens right after that, that happens... Then you get a 11-play, 95-yard drive in 5 minutes from the Cowboys for a touchdown.
Yeah.
Which puts you within 4 points.
Right.
Like, that was a significant moment
you're right.
That swung that. And then, Kevin, also at halftime, the Cowboys finally did it. They finally got some points before halftime to set them up for success in the second half, too. That was very big, man.
You know what?
Off that fumble. Like, obviously, it was off that fumble, but that was big.
I was really concerned that the Cowboys were going to get the first part of that operation right. Like, if you talk about sweeping the eights or sweeping the tens, sweeping the halves, however you want to describe it. So, essentially, you get the ball the last time to end the first half and score, and get the ball first to start the second half, and you score again. Cowboys have had a couple of opportunities have faltered. Then they scored, and I was like, hell yeah. But then I also worried because there was, 41-ish seconds?
Yeah.
That Green Bay was going to get a field goal and mess the whole thing up. And then not only that, but you double scored. So I'll give them credit, even though they didn't technically sweep because on the front half of the second half, they did not score there. But they scored two touchdowns in the span of, 14 seconds. So I'm going to go ahead and give them credit for that. I thought that was amazing. But it wasn't until the combination of both of those things that I thought they were really in this game. Even when they scored the first touchdown, I was still like, eh. But when they got that turnover and all of a sudden you're like, how the hell are they winning this game? Because I even thought when it was 13-9, how shockingly close it was. Because did it not feel like Green Bay had dominated that first half?
They had.
And then it was so close.
Yeah, they had done that up until the block PAT. That was the moment where, and again, you're right. It didn't feel like that was a seismic shift in the game. But now looking back on it, you're like, oh, it definitely was the beginning of a little bit of a cascade here.
And,
in the Cowboys' favor.
You mention it. Kevontae Turpin for a couple of really big returns, especially since you got the return to almost midfield, followed up by the Pickens great move after catch. And then, by the way, the thing that I thought was amazing outside of just the stats, not only did Pickens make an amazing move on that play, he carried somebody into the end zone just about. And so you love the stats, but you love that. It's the same thing that we talked about Javonte Williams multiple times. Great. You got extra yards. I'm excited about that. But also the physical will that you show of I will drag you along to where I am going.
Yeah. Did you thank Javonte Williams already?
No. Okay. I think he deserves it.
I will give him a thank you because, A, he had to carry the load after Miles Sanders went out. And so now it was all on him and Hunter Lipke, who I think got one carry after that. So it didn't really matter.
By the way, no thank you note to that one carry because it was a draw play on 3rd and 14. And I was like, what are we doing?
Javonte Williams was like, all right, that's fine. I'll be the back. I'll be the everything back for you in this game. And he is running downhill. He is playing a good game. But Kevin, because of what he's doing, and Miles Sanders was effective early too in that game, it is setting up play action. It is setting up for other plays to be able to be made because of what they're doing in the run game. It keeps defenses off balance. It makes them have to be honest about what they're doing, and that's helpful. Now, again, right now I'm feeling like, yeah, but it's the Packers based on the last two games. I'm like, oh, yeah, but it's the Packers.
Yeah.
But that's not what we were thinking a couple weeks ago. So this, but this is that part of the Cowboys. A lot of this is definitely going to the Cowboys offense because they were the ones, and I asked Jerry about it. I asked Steven about it last week. How much of this is going to hinge on Dak's arm? And then Jerry comes out last night and is like, that's why I signed Dak and not Micah.
He did. That was a bold thing to say after the game. But
you're seeing why right now.
Also, I don't know if this is a fair. If this is fair. No thank you note to the Cowboys for having 12 men on the field.
Oh, that was tough. It could have been Diggs' interception.
Okay, for the Diggs' interception. Now, would you not argue that it felt like Jordan Love saw that flag, knew the call, and that pass wouldn't have been made if not for the flag?
No thank you note to Kevin for trying to point this out. Not you, Kevin Walker. You're doing great. Kevin Hagelin, like, what are you trying to do, man? Are you even a Cowboys fan?
I think he threw a pick.
Thank you. There actually wasn't a penalty.
Shut up, Kevin. And Corey, you answer this question. Do you think he makes that throw without that penalty flag?
I can't tell you what he saw, Kevin.
Come on!
I don't have his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't. What do you think I am? A raven that can. The one-eyed raven? I can see through his own eyes by being.
Isn't it the three-eyed raven?
I don't know.
I'm not actually sure. What a stupid ending to that show. By the way, side note, and then thank you note to Leah Fowl. I know we already talked about the no thank you parts, but just destroying on punt coverage with the faux spin move. That faked out Leah Fowl not at all.
Dude.
I
thought he was murdered.
Stunning.
I really thought that he was going to be dead and we were going to be in a situation. I think that Collinsworth was dead on whenever he was like, maybe he doesn't do that spin move ever.
There's no way you're going to see. Was that Golden?
Yeah.
There's no way you're going to see that spin move as part of his arsenal again.
I'm not going to do that anymore. Yeah. He didn't even need to. What was the purpose of it? Other than somebody was behind him and he thought they might. There was no reason for it.
Feels like he would have been better off without it. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, brought to you by Reliant.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Air conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair. It's time for some baseball nuggets. Now, there's a lot to cover in the world of baseball. Do you think we should start with... Actually, this was a fun story, and then we'll get to the Rangers in just one second. Go ahead and give me cut number two, because it was an exciting finish for the Red Sox.
Rafael. Deep center field, way back there. Meadows looks up. It's off the top of the wall. Here comes Gonzalez around third. He will score. Say hello to October. Sadon walks it off.
So
that was Colby, by the way, that said, hey, you need to mark Kevin saying, shut up, Kevin.
Thanks a lot, Colby. But that actually is probably fair. We need to tell him some of the other things that I have been saying. So that play right there in particular, huge one, gets Boston into the playoffs. Now, I know this is probably what a lot of people want to focus in on. Can you go ahead and give me cut number seven? Because this play right here might have prevented the Rangers from having a winning record for the season as they ended up at 81-81. But this is also the play that clinched the Astros missing the playoffs for the first time in 9 years.
0-1. Garcia delivers.
and he hit him. The ball game's over. The Cleveland Guardians are in the playoffs. A walk-off hit by pitch. Kapus was drilled in the arm, and he is mobbed now at first base.
Just one of the dumbest ways to end a game, but it also meant that the Astros weren't going to make the playoffs. So, you know.
Yeah, I'm in the camp, Kevin, that does not believe that there was anything intentionally done on that specific pitch in order to keep the Astros out of the playoffs. You can't convince me that Bochy thinks that way. You also can't convince me that he doesn't think that way. So
what?
Yeah, I'm very confused. It's like a tie right now in my brain. That's what it's way today is going for me. But it just, it doesn't, again, I go back to the great Roger Staubach after the drop in the end zone.
Jackie Smith.
And he says, hey, there were so many other things that we could have done to win that game.
Yeah.
That was one play out of many that failed.
Right.
And for Astros fans, if you're upset, that's on you, buddy. Like, that's not on the Rangers. Y'all should have won an extra game. And I've already coped with the fact that the Rangers are out of the playoffs. I've been coping with it since August, so I'm kind of okay already. But I guess I understand they're having to go through the process, Kevin. You got to blame somebody else, and then eventually you're going to get to acceptance.
Well, you know what? I have great news for you. That's maybe fringy top three bad thing that happened for a team this weekend. Because I take you instead to the Cleveland Guardians. Man, Cleveland Guardians were able to overcome. On July 8th, they were 15 and a half games out of first place. They end up winning the division, and they will host the Detroit Tigers, who suffer the greatest collapse in MLB history. So I know there's a lot of interesting playoff series to start with, and we'll get into that tomorrow on the show. But number one for me has got to be Cleveland and Detroit. Detroit coughs up the biggest lead in the history of Major League Baseball, and then they play the team that overthrew them to start the playoffs. And will they finish off this amazing comeback by putting Detroit in the ground for this season? Or will Detroit go, that was a neat little story, but guess who's still in the playoffs? Like, I am going to be locked in for that series.
Okay,
that's,
I like that.
That's probably number one. Number two, the New York Mets.
Steve Cohen has apologized.
It's not, what's that?
Steve Cohen has apologized to the fan base.
Yeah, as he should have. Because it wasn't just that Corey was right. It was that he was right a couple months ahead of time. That's the thing. It's not a question of if Corey is right. It's a question of when is Corey right. And Corey was proven right. $340 million payroll. And they missed the playoffs. And the way that they lost the playoffs is unbelievable. So you needed the Reds to lose. The Reds lost to the Brewers. That cleared the way. The Mets were going to get it done. And then they got shut down by the freaking Marlins. And so they're out of the playoffs. And then immediately after the game, Pete Alonso was like, you know what? The hell with it. Let's just tell everyone all of the things. I'm opting out for next year. So he was set to make $24 million. I understand why he's opting out. It was just fascinating timing when everything's crumbling around the Mets. He was
he's part of the mess, though, isn't he?
I think you could make that argument. Absolutely.
He's in that clubhouse, too. Look. So, like, what's the point there of being, hey, you know what? Now I'll show everybody else. I'm out of here.
See, I think it was just a matter of, because he's coming off a good season, but I think it was just a matter of, I'm mad, and sometimes when you're mad, you get a little looser with the talk, right? And you're like, son of a... And so he's like, nope, I'm opting out. And so we'll see. But then he was like, yeah, so we'll see if we can work it out.
What?
Yeah, so...
That's ridiculous.
He wasn't definitely like, but I 100% would love to sign an extension. He's like, yeah, we'll figure it out.
So he was definitely maybe.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, the Reds, this is their first playoff appearance in 5 years.
Dude, this team is very interesting. Because they kind of had, you know, one of those weird arcs throughout the season too.
Yes.
But they have what feels like a lot of youth that can be very exciting. A manager that a lot of people believe in and understands what this time of year is all about. So there's a lot of exciting things there for the Reds and people who have played for the Reds before in their lives.
There you go. I see what you're doing there. All right. We've got some
Ken Griffey Jr.
We've got some managerial move-ins and shake-ins. So the Pirates announced that they are extending Don Kelly. I imagine that conversation went like this. Hey, nobody really wants to be here, and we're not going to try harder to win. Is that okay with you? His response was something positive, and so they gave him the extension. Not saying he did a bad job. I'm saying that the ownership group there is incompetent and incapable of giving their manager and other players the tools that it takes to actually have a sustained winning team. Now, on the other side of it, the Giants have fired manager Bob Melvin after only a couple of years. I know that this is going to start a lot of speculation about Bruce Bochy. I will say this. I don't know exactly how this is going to play out, but I believe all things being equal, Boch would prefer to stay in Texas than go back to San Francisco.
There's a lot of things in San Francisco that he loves. Buster Posey being the GM.
For sure.
He loves that man. Like, how often does he bring up Buster Posey when yes. we talk about yes. just, you know, players in your past? He spent most of his career on the West Coast playing and then managing for the Padres and managing the Giants. He understands that organization. They love him still.
Sure.
Like, you see it every time he goes back there. They play. They wouldn't give Micah a video, but they'll give Bochy seven videos and standing ovations. And they're like, whatever you want, sir. Basically,
put as him, Jerry said, he won.
Yeah. So, like, that's like, I understand there's a lot of things there. I think you're right, Kevin. I think he would prefer it. But ultimately, this decision, who's it up to? Is it up to Chris Young or is it up to Boch?
I still think it's up to Boch because that's what Chris Young came out and said. Now, behind the scenes, maybe it's not quite as cut and dry as that, but I believe that Bochy will be back.
I have seen what this manager can do when he has the talent.
Sure. Can we pause right there? And this is a longer conversation for another day. So maybe if he comes back, we'll be dependent on what the Rangers' actual philosophy is.
That's an interesting question. Interesting conversation.
Because I can tell you they did go over the threshold.
You're a threshold.
And so, okay. And so you're going to be...
Oh, I thought... My bad.
I was very offended.
I shouldn't have been.
Whatsoever.
I'm sorry.
The monetary threshold. And so you're going to be on a tight budget once again. And I kind of wonder if the Rangers might consider going in the complete opposite direction. And if that's the case... Then
all Osuna's,
yeah, kind of, yeah. And so, if that's the case, then I don't think he's going to be managing this team. All right, a couple more really quick things for you. The Blue Jays, they clinch the AL East title, and to go along with that, Dante Bichette's kid, Bo Bichette, almost forgot that for a minute. He is going to be out for the wild card round, but there is thought that he will be able to rock and roll and be ready to go for the ALDS. Tough break for the Cubs. One of their rookie of the year candidates, Cade Horton, he's out with a fractured rib. The earliest he could probably come back is for the NLCS. And then we talked about this off
air.
They
have Crow Armstrong. They'll be fine.
Okay.
That dude's so good.
Jake Berger is starting his offseason with surgery to repair a tendon in his wrist. We thought maybe this was coming for a minute. And then Clayton Kershaw is left off the wild card roster. But I think that's because he pitched as well. Position-wise, he would be in place, especially if that series went three games, to be on the NLDS roster. And then Shohei Ohtani hit a career high and broke his own record 55th home run for most home runs in a Dodgers season. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Hits and misses from the Cowboys weekend next on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.